For most of us, the food we eat comes from the supermarket. Whether it's fresh vegetables or frozen meat, we're far removed from where our food is produced. In his new book, author Christopher Leonard dives deep inside the meat industry. It's gigantic, it's efficient, it's profitable, and it's ruthless. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld, and today on Central Standard, we're talking about the consolidation of the meat industry. The companies that have survived may hold the fate of rural towns across the Midwest in their balance sheets. The new book, The Meat Racket, The Secret Takeover of America's Food Business. That's coming up after this hour's news. Is still grown by farmers. But the poultry farms and hog barns that supply our supermarkets these days don't often look like the picturesque red barn and white picket fence. Instead, a conventional livestock operation is made up of giant buildings that house hundreds or even thousands of animals. And the animals are most likely slaughtered, processed, and sold by one of the four giant meatpacking companies that control a huge portion of the market. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld, and this is Central Standard. Today, we'll talk about those companies and the power they wield over rural America. We'll do that in just a few minutes. But first, we're revisiting a tragic story that may reach its conclusion early tomorrow morning. The state of Missouri is scheduled to execute Michael Taylor just after midnight. Taylor was convicted in 1989 of the murder and rape of Ann Harrison here in Kansas City. Harrison was just 15 years old at the time. Taylor has been on death row for 23 years. KCOR's Dan Verbeck has covered Michael Taylor and the Ann Harrison case since the very beginning. So, Dan, thanks for coming on today to talk about this case.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
So, as I said, Michael Taylor was convicted of kidnapping, murder, and rape. So, what happened? You know, what's the story?
Well, Ann Harrison was a 15-year-old student at Raytown South High School, and she was standing at the end of her driveway at the family home in southeast Kansas City. 1989, and two men pulled up in a car, a stolen car. One of them, Michael Taylor, said to the other, by their admissions, "Let's take her purse." And what went from that, a purse snatching, went to murder and her death in a hideous fashion, and on death row now for Taylor and Roderick Dunley.
So how much do you know about the victim in this brutal crime? I think a lot of the talk today is, of course, about Michael Taylor. But what about Ann Harrison, the victim?
Ann Harrison, had she lived, would have been 40 years old as of last weekend. She was a sophomore in high school. She was a flute player. She was fun to be around, according to her classmates who've talked about her many times since. And that she certainly didn't deserve what amounted to torture, as was said by the judge who did the sentencing. It was these two men had been out around Kansas City in the stolen car. They'd been smoking crack for a couple of days. No defense. They didn't try that as a defense. It may have been considered to be some kind of a mitigating factor for them, but it didn't work.
Well,
they took her and her purse. They drove around, and for an hour and a half, she didn't know what was going to happen to her. They went to a relative's house of one of the two men. She was forced to crawl down the stairs where Taylor raped her. Nunley said he didn't. Taylor said he did. And then at some point, the prosecutor at the time, Jeff Stegall, said that individually they might not have killed her, but between the two of them, they were poison, and the decision was made, we can't leave a witness. And they didn't. The medical examiner said that she was stabbed 10 times. There were other accounts that said she may have been stabbed 40 times. And when she was tossed into the trunk of this car and left, the medical examiner said it took her 30 minutes to die, and the imaginings in the heads of anybody who hear of that have to be What were those 30 minutes like for a 15-year-old girl, probably knowing she's going to die? That's an aggravating factor in the minds of a sentencing judge. And the sentencing judges, it's a whole other issue. But the initial judge you sentenced was able to inadvertently set in motion all of these appeals that are still in place right now. We don't know if it's going to the U.S. Supreme Court today. There are appeals right now. They're pending in the Federal Circuit Court and another appeal up before the Missouri Supreme Court. So whether this execution takes place in a few hours is a moot point right now.
That's right. We don't know. The way I understand it is that four appeals were rejected yesterday by a district court judge, and it's since been moved to the Federal Appeals Court in St. Louis.
Yeah. So the way these work, these appeals come en masse, and sorting them out, it takes some judges, as you say, the entire appeals bench is going to have to consider it. Well, right now, all it takes is one to set a stay in motion. But down the line, it's all going to have to be sorted out, and it's incredibly complex. And the issues are the secrecy on the part of the state of Missouri as to who made these drugs.
The drugs used for the lethal injection.
Yeah, and apparently now it's down to one drug, pentobarbital, which Bob Pretty from Missouri Net wrote a piece in the last couple of days that said there's a state representative who is a veterinarian who says we use this on our pets all the time. We don't want our pets to suffer. And so it's the question then comes down to these drugs are put together. Well, I wouldn't say slapdash, but it's not by a regulated formula. The Food and Drug Administration doesn't have anything to do with it like they do all other drugs, legal ones. So what volume of what chemicals go into this? And so it's going to be hashed out.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, at this point, the execution is still scheduled for just after midnight, early tomorrow morning, I suppose you could call it. And Michael Taylor has been on death row for 23 years, but he's actually been this close to execution before. In 2006, he was nearly executed by the state.
There are so many odd things about this. We have that 2006 where he is set to go. And an appeal is filed. It's been discovered, at least it's alleged, and it turns out to be true, that the executioner doctor turns out to have been dyslexic and at least once in the past had confused or mixed the wrong amount of drugs. And so another stay is in place. The initial appeal, the one that is really the odd one, you don't hear it very often, was the claim that the initial sentencing judge was drunk on the bench. Now, there's an elaborate process that's gone through as if you've sat through a sentencing hearing. Judges generally are extremely they want to question the person being sentenced over and over to make sure they have no drugs in their system, no alcohol, and that they are of clear mind and ready to be sentenced. Nobody ever talks about the judge. And in this case, it was alleged that the judge had some cocktails to fortify himself before the sentencing. And, some of that claim turned out to be, it was moot because the judge stepped down and recused himself from that case. Two other judges took it up and they reaffirmed his sentence. So it bought some time. It bought some time for the defendants.
Time really until today.
It's all about time.
That's right. We'll continue to follow the story. As we have been, and as Dan has been for years. As I said earlier, Michael Taylor is scheduled to be executed by the state of Missouri just after midnight. We've been speaking with KCUR's Dan Verbeck about Taylor and the 1989 murder of Ann Harrison, a Kansas City teenager. So thanks for coming on the show, Dan.
Good to be with you.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld. Coming up in just a minute, a new expose on the companies that control the meat industry. Stay tuned.